are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year, from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich. From TAN, I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the 4-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings. We graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and Savior. We ask this in the name of the most holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day 22, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 1, the section related to the Most Holy Virgin. We will finish reading today, section number 2. I saw also a garden enclosed by a dense thorn hedge. All kinds of horrible animals were trying to enter, but could not. I saw a tower stormed by numerous warriors who were, however, always repulsed. And in this way, I saw innumerable pictures, all bearing some reference to Mary. They were bound together by passages or bridges. In them I saw obstacles, hindrances, struggles, all of which were overcome, and the pictures disappeared successively on the opposite side of the globe, as if they had entered into the heavenly Jerusalem. But as I gazed at them dissolving in the interior of the globe itself mounted on high, and I saw it no more. The angel now removed something from the Ark of the Covenant, though without opening the door. It was the mystery of the Ark, the sacrament of the Incarnation, the Immaculate Conception, the consummation of the blessing of Abraham. I beheld it under the appearance of a luminous body. The angel blessed or anointed Joachim's forehead with the tip of his thumb and forefinger. Then he slipped the shining body under Joachim's garment, and it entered into him. How, I cannot say. He also gave him something to drink out of a glittering chalice, which he held supported by two fingers. The chalice was of the same shape as that used at the Last Supper, but without a foot. Joachim was directed to take it with him and keep it at his home. I understood that the angel forbade Joachim to reveal anything about this holy mystery. And then, too, I understood why Zacharias, the father of the Baptist, was struck dumb after receiving the blessing and the promise of Elizabeth's fruitfulness through the mystery of the Ark of the Covenant. Not till later was this mystery missed from the Ark by the priests. Then were they at first confounded. Afterward, they became altogether pharisaical. The angel now led Joachim out of the Holy of Holies and vanished. Joachim lay on the ground like one stupefied. I saw the priests enter the sanctuary, lead Joachim out reverently, and place him upon a seat that stood on a raised platform, where usually only priests sat. The seat was almost like that used by Magdalene in her grandeur. They bathed his face, held something to his nose, and gave him something to drink. In short, they treated him as one in a swoon. Joachim was, by virtue of what he had received from the angel, quite radiant. He looked as if he had returned to the bloom of youth. Joachim was afterward conducted by the priests to the entrance of the subterranean passage that ran under the temple and under the golden gate. This was a passage set aside for special purposes. Under certain circumstances, penitents were conducted by it for purification, reconciliation, and absolution. The priests parted from Joachim at the entrance, and he went alone into the narrow, gradually widening and almost imperceptibly descending passage. In it stood pillars twined with foliage. They looked like trees and vines, and the green and gold decorations of the walls sparkled in the rosy light that fell from above. Joachim had accomplished a third part of the way when Anne met him in the center of the passage, directly under the golden gate, where stood a pillar like a palm tree with hanging leaves and fruit. Anne had been conducted into the subterranean passage through an entrance at the opposite end by the priest, to whom she had her maid had brought the offering of doves and baskets, and to whom she also had told what the angel had revealed to her. She was also accompanied by some women, among them the prophetess Anna. I saw Joachim and Anne embrace each other in ecstasy. They were surrounded by hosts of angels, some floating over them and carrying a luminous tower like that which we see in the pictures of the Litany of Loreto. The tower vanished between Joachim and Anne, both of whom were encompassed by brilliant light and glory. At the same moment, the heavens above them opened, and I saw the joy of the Most Holy Trinity and of the angels over the conception of Mary. Both Joachim and Anne were in a supernatural state. I learned that at the moment in which they embraced and the light shone around them, the Immaculate Conception of Mary was accomplished. I was also told that Mary was conceived, just as conception would have been effected, were it not for the fall of man. After this, Joachim and Anne, praising God, turned toward the outer gate of the passage. They went under an arch into a space like a chapel, where numerous lights were burning. Thence they passed to the gate, where they were received by the priest who accompanied them back. The temple was all thrown open and decorated with garlands of leaves and fruit. Divine service was performed under the open sky. In one place stood eight pillars at some distance from one another, and over them were twined garlands of green. Joachim and Anne went for a while to one of the priest's houses in Jerusalem, and then immediately journeyed homeward. I saw them in Nazareth holding an entertainment at which many of the poor were fed and presented with alms. Joachim received numerous congratulations upon the acceptance of his offering. Upon their arrival home, the holy couple published the mercy of God with feeling, joy, and devotion. From that time, they lived in perfect continence and in great fear of God. I received at this time an instruction upon the great influence exerted upon children by the purity, the continence, and the mortification of parents. 4 1/2 months less, 3 days after St. Anne had conceived under the Golden Gate, I saw the soul of Mary formed by the Most Holy Trinity in movement. I saw the divine persons interpreting one another. It became a great shining mountain, and still like the figure of a man. I saw something from the midst of the three divine persons rising toward the mouth and issuing from it like a beam of light. This beam hovered before the face of God and assumed a human shape, or rather, it was formed to such. As it took the human form, I saw it, as if by the command of God, most beautifully fashioned. I saw God showing the beauty of this soul to the angels, and from it they experienced unspeakable joy. I saw that soul united to the living body of Mary in Anne's womb. Anne lay asleep upon her couch. I saw a light hovering over her, and from it a beam descending toward the middle of her side. I saw that beam enter her in the form of a small luminous human figure. The same instant Anne sat up, she was entirely surrounded by light, and she had a vision. She saw her own person open, as it were, and in it, as if in a tabernacle, a holy luminous virgin from whom proceeded all salvation. I saw, too, that this was the instant that Mary first moved in her mother's womb. Anne arose and announced to Joachim what had taken place. Then she went out to pray under the tree, beneath which a child had been promised to her. I learned that Mary's soul animated her body 5 days earlier than is customary with ordinary children, and that she was born 12 days sooner. There is a note. The terms quickened and animation in present usage are applied to the child after the mother can perceive its motion, which usually happens about 116th day after conception. From the Catholic Encyclopedia, 1907, Volume 1, page 49. So we have a fascinating account of the conception of St. Anne, how they prayed for the child, how they went to the temple, and then afterwards, even kind of the sharing of an embrace between Joachim and Anne, as it was described here. What I find interesting, especially as we hear in this account today, that Anne was also accompanied by some women, among them the prophetess Anna. Well, we know the prophetess Anna. She's in Luke's gospel. She's there at the presentation of Jesus. You have Simeon, who's saying, "Now you can let my servant go in peace, for your word has been fulfilled." And then you have Anna, who can't tire in telling people about what she has just seen, that this infant Jesus had been brought to the temple and what was prophesied about him, that she becomes a great evangelist, you almost could say, that she shares who Jesus is with others. What we have here then is we have Anne meeting the prophetess Anna. Anna is later going to encounter the infant Jesus after he's born to Mary. So you have Anne, and then you have Mary. This is a separation of approximately 15, 16 years. But that Anna, who walks with Anne, will then walk with Mary. And Anna's life and mission in the temple will be completely transformed by the one who is to be immaculately conceived at this very moment in our reading. I thought, too, how interesting that once Anne experiences the movement of Mary in the womb, well, she went out to pray under the tree beneath which a child had been promised to her, that she returns to that spot where the divine grace of God was made known to her. That place really becomes a place of grace for her, a holy spot, a place where she encountered God and where God's promise was made, and now God's promise fulfilled, she turns back and gives thanks. I think that's a great reminder, always to give thanks for the blessings from God that we receive. This whole story of the conception of Mary deals with sterility or infertility. And people who know me know that I have a great love and devotion to the shrine of Our Lady of La Leche down in St. Augustine, Florida, a shrine where countless people have gone and prayed for the miraculous grace of conception and have conceived a child afterwards, even though they were told they never would naturally conceive. They call their children La Leche babies, and they go to the shrine and they pray first for a child, but then they go back. They go back with the child and they thank God and Our Lady for her prayers of intercession that obtained for them this gift. I think the reason why Our Lady is so powerful when it comes to intercession for couples struggling to conceive, because her parents struggled too, and God acted in a powerful way in their life by giving us the one who was immaculately conceived. This brings us to an end of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.